Good morning.
Good morning.
There it is. I'm just waiting for Joe's mom to acknowledge me.
Good luck. I've been trying for years.
Joe's been trying for years, he said. Well, let's begin our time of worship by asking the Lord to bless us and thanking him for what he's done. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather at your invitation. You have invited us. You've set up a standing invitation to come to you, to be with you, to commune with you, to hear your word, to be with our brothers and sisters. And so we've responded this morning. We've come to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would lift all of our burdens, that you would even allow us to know what we need to give to you. We give it to you right from the beginning. And open up our hearts and minds to be with you, actually be present here with you. That's what we ask. And that we would find joy in the worship, joy in the conversation with you and with one another, joy in the meal you provide for us. And this is our expectation and our hope. So, Lord, would you bless this time? And as we thank you for inviting us, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so this morning we're going to start off with some meditative prayer. So I invite you all to close your eyes, and we are going to center on the presence of Christ with us. And as we do, I'm going to just lead us through some things that we can interact with Jesus. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us. Thank you for calling us around your word. Holy Spirit, I ask that you center us right now, anchor us to the presence of Jesus Christ in this room. I ask that you breathe into us and give us your imagination, that we may see you right now and interact with you. Jesus, we give you our self-righteousness and our pride, our sense of being able to save ourselves. We hand over to you right now. And then, Lord, we ask, what do you have for us in return? And as Jesus takes our self-reliance in his wounded hands, he says, I give you my sacrifice. I give you my body and my blood. Lord, we give you our brokenness, our wounded hearts, our broken dreams. And we ask, what do you have for us in return? Jesus says, I give you a future. I give you my perfection. I give you the hope and the promise of a world recreated and made right. And then, Lord, we give you our sins, our rebellion, and you take them because you died for them. They belong to you. Our sin does not belong to us anymore. And so we give it to you and you take it. We ask, Lord, what do you give us in return? And Jesus says, I give you freedom to live in forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for everything you give us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you seal these gifts to our hearts, and that you allow us to continue to receive good things from you today. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue by saying the prayer of confession together on page D. As we continue to live in the forgiveness that Jesus has offered us. So on page D, let us pray the prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Lord, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's sing.
Number 35.
Yeah, Christina's back.
Christina's back? So let's stand and sing number 35. Beat out my vision. That's all my power.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our first reading for today is found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. It's found on page 480 of our Bibles. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God.
And then we'll continue with our scripture reading in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. So Romans 12, 9 through 21 on page 552. So if you can remember, we've been going through the book of Romans. It's a pretty amazing book written by the Apostle Paul for the church in Rome, explaining and exhorting and announcing the gospel in that context. So we are at a point where, if you can remember, just to set your brain, last week Paul said, present your bodies as living sacrifices. And this is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind and by the testing that you may discern what is the will of God. I'm just reminding you, that's kind of the idea. Then he says, we are this body where we all work together. And Matt beautifully talked about our confession. There's this idea of we've been renewed and we've been changed by our confession, and it's unshakable. We announce and declare Jesus Christ. But then with the word comes deed. So there's the confession, "I love you, baby." And then there's the deed. "I've been married to you for 23 years, right? So I have word and deed in my marriage to Val right now, so far. We'll see how it goes. But there's word and there's deed, and now we are at the deed part. So put on your deed hats, and let's see what Paul has to say. And in your Bible, I don't know if it says the marks of the true Christian. "Let love be genuine." Uh-oh. "Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. And Lord, help us to understand. Holy Spirit, fill us now as we consider this, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, did everyone catch the list? Were you able to focus on all those things? There was 14 things that Paul just rattled off. And 14 things to say the true marks of being a Christian. 14 things. So some of you, maybe you were going through the list and saying, how are you doing? Some of you are just meeting the list for the first time. I'm like, well, I guess that's something. Some of you are thinking of other people who aren't meeting the list. Wow, they're really not even close to this. Right, and some of you are doing the best you can, and it's good you're here. That's just, we find ourselves in all sorts of places today, and we are going to have to put on our little deed caps, our thinking caps. But all these 14, because we're going to try to harmonize all these 14 into one. And then ultimately what Paul is saying is, I want you, Christians, you are to be harmonizing, live in harmony with one another. Within the church, brothers and sisters, outdo each other in showing love. Harmony. So I know we have some of the younger kids in here. Hey, guys, can you explain to me what harmony is? No. I love the honesty. So if I said there's a harmony, peace, okay, think music. So what's harmony in music? Grace, you're a young person. You can answer.
Woodstock.
All right, that's helpful. That's helpful. I have to go in a different direction now. No, yeah. Good. This is good. I'm glad, because I'm going to be using the word harmony, and so if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Does anybody? So I thought the young kids, you know, you never took choir, or I know you're.
I mean, I know what it means, but I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's like parts coming into one.
Yeah, it's like stuff that like blends together, like
right.
Like, you know?
Yeah, so it's different parts that blend together. So people singing different parts, like a high part, a low part, a medium part. One of my favorite scenes from the classic 1980s movie Spinal Tap. Did you ever see that? Mm-hmm. It's a mockumentary about a rock band. It's pretty classic. But they go to Elvis Presley's grave, and they want to pay homage to him, and they start singing, "Since my baby left me," and they're trying to do the harmony. And in that scene, Nigel Tufnell's like, "Since my baby left me, no, try it again, try it. Since my baby left, since my, I have a new place to twirl." Have you ever tried to sing harmony? You should try it while we sing. It's pretty funny. So that's my favorite scene, because they're trying to work it out. And when you do harmony, you have different parts. You need a place to work it out. Have you ever been at a big church where they're singing and you hear the old guy sing the harmony parts and you're like, that's amazing, and then you try it? Have you ever tried it? No one can hear you, but it's still like you get red and you're like, okay, I'm just going to sing the regular part. Amazing grace, so sweet. Because it's nervous. You fail most of the time. So when we do our band up here, what happens is, a long time ago, I'm like, I got to do the harmony parts. And so at practice, I am off key all over the place, but Anthony doesn't care. I don't care anymore. It's a safe, forgiving place. And then Anthony will keep singing the regular part until I get it. You see? And then once I get it, it sounds nice. And now we do a new song or a new part of the song, and I say to him, hey, man, I need to work out the harmony for this part. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, and then Matt tries to, Wimberly tries to jump in, and he's trying to work it out, and then we have the same part. He's like, am I doing the same part? I'm like, yeah. Like, dude, I worked too hard to get there. Can you find another place? And he's like, yeah, I know. Or when Haley's here, she would take my harmony, so I'm like, I don't get to do harmony anymore. But it's actually really hard. It's hard, and it takes confidence, and it takes forgiveness, and it takes effort. And these lists of what makes you a true Christian, it's harmony. Live in harmony with one another, which means there's failure, there's forgiveness, and then there's like trying and effort. And then you get the sweet spot, you get it. And that's how, whenever we come to lists about what you should be and what you are going to be and what you are, we have to look at these lists as trying to figure out our harmonies. And so the main idea here is love. After going through salvation and the difference between Jews and Gentiles, and now it's all, we're all saved by faith in Christ, he's now saying, look, you are a living sacrifice. And your purpose is to love. So the way I created you was to love each other, that they'll see the love we have for each other and come to know Christ. Because you take care of your own family, you take care of each other, and they see how we love, because we're receiving love. And Paul's trying to say, that's why I'm telling you all these things. But it begins with fear. So the language we've been using is fear, love, and trust, right? Whatever you fear, love, and trust is your God. And that's where you look for identity, security, meaning, and purpose. Whatever you fear, love, and trust. So let's just work through that with this whole list. The first part, fear. You know what fear means? When you fear somebody, what does that mean? Where you fear something? I'll always ask the kids first because they're not as scared of being wrong.
Oh, yeah. So, like, if you fear God, it means, like, you respect him.
Right.
You know
She's Libby's saying you fear him because you know that he can smite you off the earth. That's a quotable quote. Haven't heard smite used in normal conversation for a while. I like it. What's a person that besides God that you would fear, Libby?
My dad.
My dad, she says. A lot of people fear Joe. Right.
I don't. I think he's funny.
Okay. Yeah. Who do you fear, Ryan?
My dad.
Your dad, right. He fears Dave. I don't fear Dave at all. He's a nice guy. Who do I fear? Joe. But who you all fear, it comes and goes. But here's how you know what you're fearing. When you care what this person or this job thinks. When you're like, I got to work all weekend because I care about what my boss thinks. I got to look right because I care about how I'll be judged. I got to say the right thing because I care about what that person thinks. That's who you fear. And so you start to shift now. When I say fear God, the simple way to start approaching that is to say, God, what do you think? Like, what do you want? And not dismiss that question and think you know it already. And so when we say fear God, it's like, what does God really want? It's not a mystery. Paul lists 14 things, and you know this is just off the top of his head. I know that. You may not. But he says, let love be genuine. You want to know what God thinks? God thinks this. I made you to be these loving, gracious people who love God and love each other. That's what I want. And I want you to think about it and go, God, what do you think? How am I doing? Should I work overtime to love my wife or my children? Do we ever think that? Sometimes when it's too late, usually. It's like, don't leave me, baby. I'll try harder. It's kind of late. But with work, we do it well before it gets to that point. That's where we repent and we say, God, forgive me. And when we come to these lists, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. I love outdo one another and showing honor. Try to outdo one another and showing honor and saying, oh no, you're better than me. Have this zeal, this overflowing love for God. Rejoice in hope, love, constant in prayer. We're praying all the time. Contribute to the needs of the saints and show hospitality, which would be like if back in the day when this is written, if a Jewish person was coming through town, they're Jewish, you're Jewish, allow them to come into your home. For our day, you're a Christian. We know you from someone. Okay, stay in my house. Show hospitality. But then really bless those who curse you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Care. Be present. Walk through things with people. This is the list. This is what God wants. And so we have plenty, and there's more. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud. Don't think you're wise in your own sight. Which, by the way, is the primary use of the internet, to show how wise we all are in our own sight. Deal with it. That's the opposite of what God's saying. So there's plenty to do. Live peaceably with all. So how are you doing? Do you even care? Don't respond. Rhetorical. You can nod. I know you're all sweet in here. Because what we're going to explore is the harmony. There's three parts to every list. The three-part harmony is, first, trying to do this, the fear of God. The second part of harmony is the love of God. And then there's the trust of God. And when they are together, it's really beautiful. So in this first one, you know what you do? When you try to do these lists and you see the lists in the Bible, and if you actually try to do them, what will happen to you?
Failure.
Yes. If you actually engage this and you try to do it, by God's grace, you will do the first one. Let love be genuine. Just try to do that. Well, I'm kind of only being nice to this guy because he's rich. I work with him. I usually wouldn't care. Right away, you're dealing with how genuine is your love. Go through the line and you will realize, I don't have it all. But this is a good thing. Because this is then where the first part is repentance. And you say, oh God, I'm crushed by this list. I'm crushed by it. So I'm either despaired and just give up, which is what most of us do nowadays. It's just give up and go, whatever, God will figure it out. Or we actually think we can do the list and we're checking it off going pretty good and we're completely self-righteous. And when you can do this list on your own, you don't need Christ because you're doing it for him and you don't need him. See how that happens? So some of us get self-righteous in this. And actually, self-righteousness is making a huge comeback, isn't it? No? Do you know what self-righteousness means? You should have laughed and been like, yeah! Isn't self-righteousness making a huge comeback culturally?
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you, kids. Or does it hurt us right now? We know what's right and we do what's right. It's you who have it. That's one response. Now, in this room, most of us get crushed and we're like, I'm so bad. But in the world, and even in ourselves sometimes, I've done it right, you've done it wrong. And that needs to be crushed. And so it is crushed. Look at the verses that Matt read. Peter, did you catch Jesus saying to Peter, get behind me, Satan? So Jesus says, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to die. And Peter says, no, never. I'll never let that happen. And Jesus turns and says, get behind me, Satan. You care about the things of man, not the things of God. That if you're going to follow me, you're going to pick up your cross. And so these lists, we come at it like Peter so often where it's like, all right, God, I'm going to do these for you. And Jesus looks at us and says, that's not how it gets done. Get behind me. You can't do it. So should we just give up? No. Repent. Admit that you can't do it. And then what happens? The fear of God. You care what he wants. And then you start to receive the love of God, because what does God do? He says, I forgive you for not being genuine in your love. I forgive you for not outdoing each other in love, but instead fighting for what you think is right. I forgive you for destroying one another with gossip and slander, and how almost everything we say about everything is unsubstantiated, and we would never say it in a court of law, but we gladly say it to the world. Because that's what we're full of. We destroy one another. It's what's natural. It's the will to power. That's how the world works. We start to realize how far we are, even us good people. And Jesus breaks in and says, this whole list I did for you. I am the mark of a true Christian, and now I did it for you so that I forgive you for your insincere love. I forgive you for how quickly you worship idols. I forgive you for how mean you are to each other. I forgive you for not using your gifts or recognizing your. I forgive you. And this is where we start to receive the love. So fear, love, which is you are forgiven. Can you admit you can't keep this list and then be forgiven? Because it's in that forgiveness you receive the list. You receive Christ doing all these things. Christ is the one who gave up everything to become a servant. He does the list. Have you, I've been realizing lately, with my kids getting older, and even with you all, there's so many things that I've learned being able to study the Bible and pray all day and have a guy like Matt with me, where we're always talking about the Bible. And so I'm thankful for that, and that's my job. You're always talking about your job, and I'm thankful for that because it serves me. But you know, in your job, there's times that you meet, there's a new person coming in, or somebody wants to know what you do, and you're trying to explain it to them, but you just know it takes a lot of time to get it. Have you ever just wished, I wish I could just give them all that I know so you could catch up and we could just keep going. I wish I could give you my heart, like my mind heart. I think this with my kids as they're going through hard things, like Lowry's going through work and school and trying to balance all this, and I'm trying to tell him, like, it's really hard this week, but keep pushing through. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you destroying me? And I'm like, I wish I could give you my heart. Like, I wish I could give you all that I know and you could just know it and trust me. Have you ever wished that? Thank you. I do all the time now because I'm getting to that age where I'm like, I've suffered enough for you. You've suffered enough for me, so let's just trust each other, but we still have to like make the same mistakes. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So it's Jesus Christ says, I want you to have my heart. I want you to know what I know. I want you to have everything I have for you. Isn't that cool? So that's how our hearts get changed. That's how come we even want this list. That's how come we even feel bad. We're like, oh, I don't do it. But then we're forgiven, and he gives us a new heart. So now you all have the heart and mind of Christ in you simply by faith, by believing Christ has done this. And so it's there you receive forgiveness. You receive a new heart. So now we're forgiven. Okay? It's the second harmony. There's fear. I care what you think, Lord, and I'm not doing well. There's forgiveness. I'm forgiven, and I get everything Christ has. And then there's trust. And you know what the trust is? Now you're ready to really, you're forgiven. You're really ready to try and put effort towards these things. So now try to outdo one another in love. Try to bless your enemy. Now you're forgiven. The pressure's off. It's not about salvation for them or for yourself. It's about your meaning and purpose. And you're able to go, all right, I'm going to try and love this person that's really hard to love. And you put your trust in God. You're able to say, I trust you, Lord, that you're working on this person. You're working on this job. You're working on the future. You're working. And I'm just going to do the thing that you told me to do now. I'm going to try and do it. And you trust that it works out. But then guess what happens? It might work out for a while. You get a little self-righteous because now you've figured out Christianity. Oh, and you start the harmony all over again. Or, well, you forgiveness. You're crushed. Fear. Forgiveness. Now love. Oh, I've done a good job loving, and I realize I need to do more for the people around me. Right, fear of God, help me, forgive me. Jesus, give me more. And we're in this constant three-part harmony, and we're all at different points of it. And that's what Paul knows, and that's why he says, be kind and loving to one another. We're all at different parts. There's some of us that are self-righteous, and we're angry, and you're not doing it right. We show mercy, those of us who are in the forgiveness part of it, and we're like, I just know I'm forgiven by Jesus, and I can't worry about following all his rules. Be gracious to the one who's going to be crushed by self-righteousness. Pray for them and love them. When you're in the forgiveness coming out of it, trying to love people, then you're going to meet other Christians who are like fighting you on doing what's right. Forgive them. Pray for them. Bless them. When you're going through self-righteousness and you're like, I'm doing it right, have mercy and be loving and kind. Like, we have to always be working together. And Paul's like, I want you. You're filled with Christ. And now this compels you to live like Christ, and so that the church is a place that starts to reflect God's original purpose for us, that we are the people who confess Christ, and then we get to walk into the deeds of Christ. And so there's a weird balance. So part of me says, don't try and do this list. Trust Christ. But then there's a part of me that says, once you resting in the forgiveness, now try and do these things, because you have nothing to lose. Try it. Do you see how that works? And we usually are in communities where my instinct was like, I want to just change your behavior. Do what's right, and then you'll be good. It's not true. What I need to announce is Christ changes your heart. And so these lists of things isn't bad. It's not bad to aim for it. In fact, you should aim for it, but recognize Christ does it. Does that make sense? And what we're aiming for is harmony. So when you find yourself starting to be bothered and resentful of one another, even in a small, tight-knit group like this, even in my family, don't let that resentment build. Don't let, masks, right? Masks, such a hard thing. That can tear apart harmony and love, and that can rear up self-righteousness and rear up anger towards one another. But the Spirit of Christ has to lead us in to outdo one another in love, understand one another, have mercy on one another, be honest with one another, and trust that God's using that. Because I know for me in my house, when my kids turn on each other, and then they think they come to me thinking, like, I'm going to be on their side against one of my other kids. Isn't that funny? Like, Dad, Lowry's this, or Grace is this, or Haley. And they have, like, this idea that maybe, not so much anymore, but they have this idea that I'm going to see their side and go, wow, my oldest daughter is garbage. Yeah, let's kick her out. Let's throw her away. You're absolutely right. Can't believe she did that. Gone. Right? I'm never going to do that. She's my daughter. And it's like the same thing in the church. When we're destroying someone, God's going, that's my daughter? Do you know what I went through to save them? Do you know the cost? And you're wanting me to damn them to hell so that you can be right? You don't know me. You don't know me. You're at the wrong window. Get behind me, Satan. That took a turn. Usually does. So what God is doing and what we are aiming for is harmony. The world, everybody plays and sings their own note and tries to conform the song. We're being conformed from the inside out. And he's given us things to play, to sing, and to do. Love one another. Outdo. But don't do it from a place to be saved. Do it as a place that you're already forgiven and you have nothing to lose in loving a person who may never say thank you or who will just take more from you. You have nothing to lose because the God of the universe has given his son to you. He's done all these things. He's fulfilled all of this harmony and he's given it to you. All right, let me pray. God, thanks for your church. Thank you that you give us the true marks of Christ, and then you use the church to mark the world. We have already confessed, Lord, we confess again, we're so far from fulfilling this list and we want to make it a checklist. Forgive us. We receive your forgiveness and we thank you for leading us into even wanting to love like this. And now, by faith and trust in you, Lord, we're going to do our best this week. We're going to do our best to try and love our spouses, our kids, our parents, our teachers, strangers. We're going to do our best trusting you. Continue to realign our fear, love, and trust in you, Lord, that you would give us our identity as faithful children, our security in Christ, in his works, and our purpose and meaning to love you and love our neighbors as ourselves. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's confess the Apostles' Creed together. This is where we have a chance to say what we believe about God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again, it's the creative, redemptive, sanctifying work of God. So I'll ask the question, Christian, what is it you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So we want to use this time to remind you to worship God through offering and giving of the tithes and offerings. We do that online. Or at any time during prayer, you can come up and put something in the plate if that's how you're going to do it. But we do want to say thank you and continue to ask for your support for the ministry of preaching and praying and church. And so God's using your gifts for the building of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not wasted. And this is the one area where God says, try to outdo me. Test me. It's the one place where you can test God. I'm going to give a lot of money, Lord. And am I going to go broke? And he's like, test me. I'm just saying what he said, because I don't want to give you what I think or challenge you, but it's in Malachi. But it's an opportunity for us to say thanks, Lord, for providing for all we have. And again, I just want to thank the Lord that somehow through all of this, I think all of us have been safe and healthy. Pretty amazing. So I see it as, thank you, God. There's no reason. I know we all think, maybe I think, oh, I acted smarter than anyone. No, you didn't. We all had to go shopping, or we all did something foolish during this time. God is gracious. We also did good things, and we're trying our best, and we continue to try. But God protects us. Thank you, God, for every good and perfect gift. And so praise God for that. And we also want to use this time to pray. So if you have a prayer request, fill it out, put it on the board. I know today we're continuing to pray for Ruth and Larry. He's in Tennessee. And the update on Larry is he's been unplugged from things. And we don't know how long he'll have. Days, month, minutes, we don't know. So we're praying with Ruth. She's heartbroken. The family is heartbroken. I'm going to pray for them. And then we just continue to pray for all you all. We're just praying for jobs, for opportunities, for wisdom on how to move forward in even simple decisions now are more complicated, right? So is there anything that we'd want special prayer for all today? You feel kind of led to say, hey, let's throw it up there for everybody. Megan.
I have something huge going on in my life, and I need a really large amount of money by Tuesday. So
what fun.
I'm trusting God because he's shown me
Yeah, that'll be fun. Let's. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. Let's do it. Dear Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray generally for everyone in this room and watching at home that your presence would fill them with your peace. Your presence would fill them with faith and trust, and that you would lead us to give you all of our fear and to receive all of your promises. And Lord, we thank you for how you've provided. We praise you. We give you honor and glory and ask for more. Continue to bless us. And Lord, we lift up Megan and Barry. We thank you for how you've led them all these years and the ideas and the dreams and the vision you put in her heart and Barry's heart. We thank you for that, that you're working all things together and you're with them and for them. But we ask, Lord, for your special provision. Would you bless, would you open your hand to the desire of Megan's heart and provide. Nothing's too big for you, Lord, and we're your children. We get to ask. The bigness of an idea has never stopped my children from asking me, and so it won't stop us from asking you. Provide whatever the money is, whatever the thing is, Lord, we pray that you'd continue to fulfill this dream and desire of Megan and Barry's heart. We pray together and lift them up to you and are for them. Pour out your favor and your blessing on them at these moments of we don't know what's going to happen, these great moments. Be with them and bless them. And Lord, we pray together for Ruth and Larry. We thank you for them. And I pray the emotional pain that Ruth is walking through is beyond what I can imagine right now. And so I pray, Lord, have mercy on her. Give her your strength. Walk with her through the valley of the shadow of death. And give Larry your peace. Give him your comfort. And Lord, we always pray that you'd heal him, bring him back to life while he's still alive. But bless them. We lift these prayers up and give them to you. And then we pray for our church, Lord. Bless New City Church. Bless the money that's given. Bless the prayers that are sent out. Bless the love that we stumble and work through for one another and in the communities where we work. Bless those efforts, Lord, as they are gifts from you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. So let's all pray together the Lord's Prayer as we enter into the Lord's Supper. So let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we prepare ourselves for this meal, remember this is the tuning fork for us. This is what harmonizes us to one another, to God and to each other. But this is the body and blood of Christ. And he's saying, here, I'm going to give you myself so that you can have my love. You can have my trust. You can carry these things in you. And you can actually be united to one another and to me. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, This is my body, given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup and poured it out and said, This is the blood of the new covenant. Pour it out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. Lord, we announce that this is your supper. This is your table. You are inviting us to it. And Lord, allow us to come to it in humility, in our need, recognizing that we need to be retuned. Tune us to your heart and allow us to be sensitive and aware of the hearts of those around us. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As long as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim Christ's death until he comes again.
All right, well, receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn to you and smile and give you his peace now and forever. Amen.